is the Steve Cochran Show podcast. And as you can tell, I am not Steve Cochran. I sound a little different. I am Mary Sandberg Boy filling in for him. And I am very lucky to be on this episode because we have our friend from Entertainment Tonight, Kelty Knight, joining us. Hey, Kelty, how you doing?
I'm so good. I have huge bags under my eyes. We were up very late last night at the Vanity Fair Oscar party, but it was all worth it.
So I saw on your Instagram story the picture you posted after 10 hours of red carpet this morning. That's your red carpet face. So I want to talk.
Oh my God, I'm so gross.
Yeah. I want to talk a little bit about the Oscars themselves, but I want to talk about you and what went into getting ready for that event and managing that type of day for you, and then a little bit of the after party, if you don't mind.
Yeah, for sure. So the Vanity Fair Oscar party is like the biggest Oscar party that exists, and it is huge, but it is very long because it's a viewing party. So stars arrive starting around 2:30, 3 o'clock, and then they eat and they watch the entire Oscars together. And then more stars come after the four-hour Oscars, and then more stars come after the end of the other parties. And so it kind of just never ends. And so for me, I dress really comfortable. I wear a suit every year. I wear flat shoes, like little...
Wait, Kelty, not just the suit. You called it the lady suit.
It's a lady suit. You're right. And to be honest, I took the Gucci bow off my fancy Gucci birthday shoes and put it as a bow tie. So I was wearing a Gucci bow tie.
Look at you.
So no big deal. Actually, a lot of women were wearing suits last night. But anyway, so I pack a cooler. I had snacks, water, dinner. I had a little golf chair that I set up. I brought my bullet journal, so when the Oscars was going on for the 3 hours and I was just sitting there, I could, like, do some bullet journaling. An extension cord, a phone charger. Yeah, it's no joke.
So that's what people don't understand when you're in television. We see you on, and you're like, hey, Lady Gaga, what do you have to say? You know, and we see that, and we think that that's all what's involved in your work. But, like, had packing snacks and drinks and your dinner, you're at a Vanity Fair party. Nobody's bringing you over a steak dinner. Like, you have to be ready
to go at any moment, and you have to be constantly on the lookout. One of the things that happened last night is I looked down at my phone for 2 seconds, and then all of a sudden I looked down the red carpet, and Joe Alwyn, Taylor Swift's boyfriend, is getting his picture taken. And I turned to my producer. I was like, how did he walk past us and we didn't see it? And I was like, oh my gosh, I was looking at Instagram for 5 seconds and I missed a celebrity, but he came in a different entrance. Hey,
that's because he's smart that way. So I noticed I saw a lot of stuff on your Instagram story. You had somebody helping you there because it's very difficult to manage your own social media and interview stars, isn't it?
Well, you know, to be honest, and I think a lot of people in the business can relate, like when you start and you're a little cub reporter, you do everything yourself. I mean, when I started my career, I booked my own guests, filmed them on my camcorder, edited them in iMovie, did the clearances, bought the pictures. I mean, I created all my own content, got them up on the site, wrote the copy. And then as you continue on in your career and you get a bigger and bigger job, then you get more help. And so now, obviously, I'm at Entertainment Tonight. So I was there with, we had a cameraman. And then I also had my producer JoJo with me, and he's just there taking notes, helping. A lot of times, like, the PR people will say, oh, you know, this person's coming. Oh, Melissa McCarthy's coming. She's arrived. And I'm like, okay, man, when was the last time she was nominated for an Oscar? And then I can say to the producer, and they Google it really quick and get you that information. Or, you know, it's just, like, really easy to kind of tag team it. So,
sure. Yeah. Are you able to, because you did used to control all aspects, are you able to, like, sit back and let them take creative control, or do you try to micromanage it all?
At Entertainment Tonight, I do what I'm told.
Okay.
because it's such a collaborative collaborative team, and these people are the best in the business, and they've been doing it a much longer time than me. So we have, like, huge meetings leading up to these big award shows where we decide what's our angle, what's our go-to, what are the things that we want to get, who's going to be there. And so then a ton of research is done. Cards are made for every person that I study, and then we you know, so we kind of are all on the same page, even though Kevin and Nancy were down at the red carpet, and Nichelle was at the governor's ball, Lauren Zima was at the Elton John Oscar party, I was at Vanity Fair, we're all working towards a cohesive show that you'll see tonight that we're trying to all work towards.
Sure.
Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah, makes complete sense. And we love Lauren Zima. She's Chicago's own. Are you... So we love her. Her mom listens to our show all the time. Did you get to select, like, hey, I want to be at the Vanity Fair party, or were you assigned that?
We get assignments, but I do. The Vanity Fair party is the best Oscar party.
Right.
There's benefits to both parties. I would say the Governor's Ball for people that are working the Governor's Ball and the Vanity Fair party are the best party assignments. They're both hard in different ways, but the Vanity Fair party, I have to be honest, like, I woke up, I'm exhausted. I feel like a little bit I'm on death's doorbell this morning,
right.
but I can barely speak to you, as you can tell. But, I mean, I saw almost every star on the planet yesterday, and the amount of beautiful couture fashion and celebrity couples and beauty and hair and makeup and walking art, it's a really special thing that I get to do. And the Vanity Fair party is very exclusive in what crews they invite to cover it, and so to be there and witness, you know, to witness Lady Gaga walk by in a custom Brandon Maxwell creation at the end of an incredible Oscar run with an Oscar in her hand and come talk to me, like, that's stuff I'll remember the rest of my life.
So that got captured.
Not just a movie junket, you know?
Oh, exactly. And that got captured on your Instagram story. And I wanted to ask you, did you say Lady Gaga or Gaga or hey, like, how did you, because she had to come over to you. She was walking by and you got her.
Yeah, I think it's been really cool. You know, people have a lot of opinions about Stephanie Germanotta, Lady Gaga, but I have to tell you, she has been so lovely this award season. I first, you know, interacted with her on the movie side at the Toronto Film Festival, which was back in 2018, which is where a lot of these Oscar movies launch.
Mm-hmm.
And she came on the carpet. She came right over to me. She recognized me from, like, our work together on the Grammys, and we had a great conversation, and then she went and did one other reporter and then didn't do anyone else in Toronto. So I felt really happy then. I didn't know if my good luck would continue. And then throughout this entire award season, I think she's been full of so much grace. She's been so put together. I've loved the fashion she's brought. It's always exciting for us, especially on ET, to have something to talk about. Like, I love it when people wear ridiculous dresses because it gives me something to talk about. It's a fantasy world, you know?
Right.
So last night, I just, you know, she saw me, and then as you saw on the Instagram, and you'll see tonight on ET, you know, she was walking by, and I threw a question out because she wasn't going to agree to an interview, but
sure.
Then she saw me and walked over, and I got a couple questions in, which was, you know, it's really nice, and she's given me a lot this award season, and so I'm very thankful to her. She's a very classy lady for all the craziness of Lady Gaga. She's great.
I think you could see the person who, you know, was filming that for you captured the recognition. Her eyes were like, oh, Kelty, you know, like she did recognize that. And that has to make you feel really good. I know you put a lot of work into a lot of stars, and not all of them, it's nothing against the stars, but they have their own agenda going. And she seems, I think she's reached a level of comfort, maybe where she's at now that she wasn't at before. And so she's done a great job sharing, you know, that and just the whole empowerment thing, you know, ladies are now here and can't be ignored. And I think she's a part of that. And she's been pretty incredible, but it was cool that she stopped and talked to you, I thought.
Man, it was so cool. And you know what? I was saying last night, everyone's like, oh my gosh, you're so tired. It's so late. And I was like, this has been such an incredible award season. Like, when you think of the people that we've had to spend the last 10 months with interviewing over and over again, like, is there anyone better than Regina King? Like, she is so incredible. She's so full of grace. Like, I was so happy for her last night. Melissa McCarthy and her husband, Ben, showed up to the Vanity Fair Oscar party in matching Adidas tracksuits.
Oh, that is awesome.
They were like, we're done with award season. Like, we're exhausted. But Melissa McCarthy, you know, has been in the past really picky about who she interviews with. And to be honest, most of the time, if she has the choice in Entertainment Tonight, she'll sit down with Kevin Frazier because they have a friendship, a long time standing friendship, you know?
Okay.
And so this year has been a year that I've really gotten to spend a lot of time with Melissa, and I just have loved her. And it's been incredible. There is something so special, I will say, and I absolutely take it personally when I get denied. And I know it's just a job, but when a star like that at that level recognizes you and sees in your eye and and comes over and opens up. I saw Miley Cyrus and Liam Hemsworth last night, and Miley came right over and was like, hey, girl, you look amazing, you know, and it's not everyone is like that, and there's some people that act like they've never seen the press before in their life.
Right.
I'm like, girl, I've been standing here for 15 years. You know who I am, you know, but when that recognition, or that's not a word. I'm so tired.
No, I get it. When they recognize you.
And when, yeah, it really does mean a lot to me. And when people show up for you in the later part of their career when they're having success, the way that you showed up for them when they were first breaking out and they really needed you, mm-hmm. you know, at Entertainment Tonight, we build stars.
Right.
You know, it's a big deal when you're first coming up and you get your first ET package. I mean, we fight for those things when we think someone's a rising star. And so, you know, for all these years later, for someone like, you know, Gaga or Regina or whoever to be like, oh, you know, I'm going to turn that back around now that I can have my choice of who I talk to. I'm going to talk to you. It's a wonderful feeling.
That has to be. You did an amazing job. And then your job doesn't end when the red carpet, because you're putting together shows and things for this week, right?
Yeah. So basically, like I said, we have an incredible team. So there's been people that have been up all night. My producer was there till 2 in the morning. I got home at 2 in the morning. I'm up now. I'm going to head into the office. I'm calling you from home. But now the show is pretty much what we're going to put in. The show is already run down. Our editors are going nuts. So we'll go in. We'll track the show. We're going to do affiliate hits. Kevin Frazier's been up since 3 in the morning doing live hits all over the country. So we will support this big Oscars show that's coming out, you know, obviously tonight on Oscar Monday, as we call it. But then, yeah, then we still got to make a show Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday. So, you know, as soon as we wrap on this Oscar show, we're right back out in the field making more content. And that's the thing that I think people are always like, oh, my God, you're so lucky. And I absolutely am, and I love my job. But the hardest thing about doing any kind of news, I think – I'm not putting myself on the same level as people who cover, you know, Syria and world news, and that's horrible. But, you know, news never stops.
Right.
There's always something else. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Mm. There's something every day. So you're never finished a job. It's not like a series where you're like, oh, I'm going to shoot 12 weeks and then I'm going to wrap. I've never wrapped. I haven't wrapped in 15 years. It never ends. So it's a real grind.
Yeah, and even when you're off or you have a break, you have to stay on top of things because that information needs to be used when you come back. You know, there it's because the information is available 24/7 now. There is actually never a break, even if you're not there doing a show that day.
Yeah, it's never a break. And I have to say, like, one of the really funny little insider things that I've learned in doing what I do that I know all shows and all people do is that everywhere you go, even when you go on vacation, you always pack a death dress.
Right.
You always pack a black dress in the bottom of your suitcase because you don't know when it's going to be the day that Michael Jackson dies. And, like, it doesn't matter that you're in Hawaii.
Right.
You're back and you're on camera. You know what I mean?
Like, no, that's something. I didn't know that. That's crazy.
Yeah, so I always, you always have something black. Even when I go to New York and it's Met Gala and I'm going to wear a big gown, like, I always have my good black dress with me because news can happen anytime. And so you have to be ready to be, you know, on camera and pulled up. There's all these funny stories about the history of Entertainment Tonight, the amount of people that have, like, gone on vacation and then, like, gotten pulled off vacation because a big story broke. And, you know, that's kind of what we live for.
Right.
So
That's hilarious. It's funny that you mentioned death because I didn't want to admit it, but, you know, I started watching the actual Oscar broadcast a little bit late because I was making dinner, and so I fast-forwarded through the In Memoriam, and I felt guilty, but I was like, I can get some time here if I fast-forward through the...
You
know, I know, I'm not supposed to, you know, admit that, but I did.
Okay, but that, you know, it's a hard section to watch, and it, you know, it definitely brings the mood down, and
right.
It's hard, but it's, you know, it's a nice thing.
Yeah, I can go back. We have it on a DVR, but my husband and I'm like, I'll fast-forward this now.
Look at the list online later. You'll be good.
Exactly. And then I'll see who they missed, you know, because people always complain. The Vanity Fair, they are known for taking those amazing pictures of the stars. Does that happen at the Vanity Fair party?
Are you talking about, like, the portrait studio?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. You know what? I don't know the answer to that question.
Okay.
I always thought it happened there. There is a red carpet that is sort of iconic with a striped carpet. When I arrived last night, the walls were covered in those portraits. So I was like, are those old portraits? Are those no? I don't actually know because I don't get to go inside the party.
You don't get to go inside the party. Okay, I get it. I know you had a shot of you watching the Oscars. Like, I don't know if you were in the truck or what, but it wasn't, you know, it's not quite as, that part's the non-glamorous side of television for
that
you.
That was not me.
Oh, maybe then.
That was Renee Zellweger.
Oh, Renee, stop it. Really?
Isn't that crazy? I just pressed play to my Instagram before I could tag it.
Okay.
This is the most incredible story. I have to go back and repost the photo.
Okay.
This is the most incredible story. Renee Zellweger, we miss her. We need more of her.
Yes.
She's all the goodness in the world. You know, she's playing Judy Garland in a new film coming out this year, which we're very excited about. Yes. And she is the sweetest woman. I'm telling you, like, Hollywood has been hard on her, and she is all the good things in the world. So she comes by, we interview, we're talking about the Judy Garland project. She's like, oh, I'm just so excited to be here. She's wearing incredible shoes. And then it's Regina King, all of a sudden, on our monitor. We have a monitor to watch the show.
Okay.
The show has already started, the Oscars. Regina King is winning her Oscar. Renee Zellweger walks over the velvet rope, comes back with all the crews, sits on a stool, and watches her, Regina's acceptance speech crying.
Oh.
That picture was Renee Zellweger.
That was Renee. Okay. Oh,
in the press pit watching the Oscars.
That is so cool. That is like, when it's not, you know, you don't know how much this matters to people. That is like, she wanted to see that. She wanted to see her.
She was like, to the next crew, she's like, I'll talk to you. I just want to watch this. And then just sat there. And that has actually happened to me more. That's the cool moments. That happened to me once with Celine Dion backstage at the Billboard Music Awards. And Celine was like doing press and she was like, hold on. And then she sat down and had to like watch Cher perform or something. It was amazing. And you're like, oh my God, you're a fan too.
That is really cool. So I wanted to mention your other project that I am obsessed with, The Lady Gang. So could you tell me what that is?
Thank you. Yeah, so Lady Gang started 3 years ago as a podcast, much like this.
Right.
And I really wanted to create a really cool, like, girl chat for women because I had gotten to a point in my life where I had a level of success, and I felt like I didn't have anyone to talk about, like, all the nitty-gritty, crappy things in my life, and I thought that people expected me to always be pulled together and have it, unlike the photo I posted this morning of my face being swollen and gross. So my friend Becca Tobin, who is one of the stars of Glee, and my friend Jack Vanek, who I actually share a mutual ex-boyfriend with.
Ooh, that is a great connector. People don't realize all the time that can really connect girls.
Yeah, it really did. And so we started this podcast 3 years ago, and from there we've built it into, you know, one of the top podcasts for females. And about a year ago, we got greenlit on E! For our own TV show. So we filmed and aired 6 episodes this fall, but we're starting. I'm literally in my laundry room calling you right now.
Okay.
And my entire downstairs of my house is a set. We actually filmed the television show in my house. So there's like about 25 people in my house right now, lighting and stuff, because tomorrow's our first shoot day of our new season.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah,
I know.
So we're so excited.
Before you started shooting the television episodes, I know that on the Instagram for Lady Gang, there was a, you know, a little story there. And you're like sitting around, there's a dog in the background barking, and you guys were talking about how the next day you were going to do the wardrobe stuff. And, you know, one of the girls says no open-toed shoes. It was like really fun because you get a feel for what all goes into this, which I personally have a fascination with the behind-the-scenes stuff. So it's really fun, though. I've enjoyed listening and then watching. It's just, you're a great group.
Thanks. It's really cool. And I will say, you know, I have learned from the best of the best at ET, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been incredible to take that knowledge into my own show. And I'm an executive producer on the Lady Gang show. And we, all three of us are. And we have like a 90% female staff, including the executives at the E! Network, including our director of photography. So it's really cool that... now we've been placed in this power position and we're able to promote females and really like walk the walk, which is really cool. So it's been, I have too many jobs. It's so funny. Last night I was seeing all these celebrities, and like Kat Graham is one of the celebrities that was at the Vanity Fair party, looking amazing, by the way. And she had been on the first season of Lady Gang, and she was like, girl, you need less jobs. And I was like, I know, but it's like an embarrassment of riches. Like you prayed and worked so hard for so many years to get, get one job that, like, I can't really now quit anything. I
right.
love it all.
You're, basically, you're just the female Ryan Seacrest, and so you're going to be hosting,
I'm trying, but it's easier for Ryan because he doesn't have to do hair and makeup.
Right. You're right. That is a, that's a reality.
You know what
of
I
that.
Mean? I,
yeah, that is
like
true.
He just wears the same suit every time.
Except for he got
no
his hair did get messed up on New Year's Eve because it was raining. And I was like, I don't even recognize him with wet, messy hair because he always looks exactly the same.
Right? So, I'm like, have you aged? Oh, so annoying.
Speaking of women and all this cool stuff, I am now, I used to watch these award shows and kind of think like, ooh, that's a miss, or, you know, try to like, I was a little more critical eye. But now I don't know if it's me or if it's just the whole vibe of everything. I felt the same way about the Grammys this year. Every woman that comes out, I'm like, you look amazing. And that dress is perfect for you. And I just feel like the whole energy is just like this positive forward thinking. And then we get our, you know, our best documentary short is period, end of story, with the two cutest girls giving the best speech. And you got celebrities like Reese Witherspoon and Priyanka Chopra, like, tweeting about how we, you know, getting an Oscar for menstruation is like, it really says a lot about the time we're in, I think.
It's really, really cool. I think I was talking to Zach Posen last night, you know, the famed designer,
sure.
And I was like, what is it? Like, the dresses are kind of ridiculous at this Oscars. Like, it's a lot of volume. It's, like, hot pink. There's huge puffy sleeves, but I love all of it. And he was like, you know, it's a sign of the times because women are coming to the table with a point of view. And when they come with a point of view and a confidence, you can't really fault them. So these dresses and these stars, like, they're not letting the award ceremony or the outfit they're wearing define them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's coming with this confidence of, like, I saw, oh my gosh, girl from Pitch Perfect. Anyway, one of the people was wearing, like, this ridiculous... No, oh my God, she's the director. She's blonde. Oh my God, my brain. Anyway, she was wearing this, like, crop top, red puffy sleeve gown thing, and I was like, on any other time, on anyone else, this would be so ridiculous. But it was, like, amazing. I was like, more power to you. I felt like the amount of volume of these dresses, like, when I say volume, it's like a princess dress.
Oh,
you know
sure.
what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
oh,
it wasn't,
I know exactly what you
people
mean.
Weren't wearing,
yeah.
like, a little tight dress. It was like, it took up space. I was like, I felt as if everyone was saying, I get a seat at the table. I am not going to apologize for taking up space. I am going to take up this space in this world, and I'm going to add a few feet of fabric onto my space that I take up in the world because I matter. And
right.
I love that.
The woman that won Best Actress, somebody was standing on her dress, and she's like, you're standing on my dress, as she was trying to go up there, you know, with the...
amazing.
Green, yeah, the favorite. The
Olivia Colman.
Yeah, she was like, you're standing, because she had that bow that kind of hung up. But I loved it all.
Yeah.
I think they were my absolute favorite dress, I have to say, was Regina King. I thought she just looked flawless, and I thought her speech was so sweet and from so sincere, and it just was, that she was my favorite. Do you have a fave?
You know what? Like I said before, Regina King is just a class act, man. I remember falling in love with her. Do you remember when she starred with Janet Jackson in that movie with Tupac, Poetic Justice?
Oh, I loved
Way
Poetic
back
Justice.
In the day.
I did not know she was in that. Okay.
She was like the bad best friend that
yeah.
had the bad boyfriend. And I actually forgot about that until we pulled it out of the ET vault last week. And, you know, she's such a classy lady. She's so graceful. She just has a kindness and a grace to her. And I thought she looked incredible. I'm going to try it because I saw a lot of the party looks. So let me think of who on the red carpet. I was like, oh, Gemma Chan from Crazy Rich Asians.
Yeah.
She had that giant hot pink dress
yes.
with the pockets that looked like a duvet, but also was Valentino. Forget about it. I loved it.
So I personally wear a lot of long, flowy dresses, and I'm like, I could not pull that off, and I wish I could because she is nailing that look. Like, she just, it was...
Well, she's like 6 feet tall.
Right, so...
Like, you can only wear a duvet if you're 6 feet tall.
5 foot six, it doesn't work for me, so...
Yeah, but I loved Kacey Musgraves even.
Oh,
she came
God.
In, like, that really
yeah.
frou-frou Jean Baptiste Valley.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just loved that everyone was wearing these bright colors, and it was just fabulous. I mean, Julia Roberts, of course, looked incredible on stage. Lady Gaga in black, I was underwhelmed, but not underwhelmed. Like, I felt like... It was beautiful, and the construction was amazing. I really believed that Lady Gaga was going to show up to the Oscars in, like, a 40-foot train, like, moon-shaped sequin something, you know? And
right.
so she kind of went understated, but it was beautiful. And then she was wearing the Breakfast at Tiffany's diamond, which was really the kicker, you know?
The necklace
the necklace. Audrey Hepburn wore.
Well, Audrey Hepburn, but then this morning I saw also Kate Hudson in How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days wore a similar necklace at the end in the last episode. In the last scene, yeah, where she wears the yellow dress.
Not what she was going for.
I know, but I love that movie, so it was okay.
What she was going for.
All right.
I promise you that.
So anyway, Kelty, I'll let you get back to the people building the set in your downstairs. I don't know. What does your husband feel about that?
Well, he doesn't love it, but it's okay. But we're good. We're good. I do want to tell you a quick story. Do you have time?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I saw something, and I don't know if it'll make it in the show tonight, and I want your viewers and listeners to know.
Okay.
We saw Selma Blair out last night for the first time since she had admitted her MS diagnosis. Have you guys talked about this at all on the show?
Yeah, we have. Absolutely, yeah.
And she came to the Vanity Fair Oscar party in a gorgeous dress with a gown, and she's having even a hard time walking. I did not realize, because I have so many friends in my life that have MS that have had it for years that haven't really progressed.
Right.
She's progressing quite quickly, and she was not in great health or strength, I think. She walked the carpet, tears in her eyes, stood there proudly getting her picture taken, and I was just so happy to see her out and enjoying Hollywood, and she said that it had taken her every inch of who she was to get ready to come out, because it's just so difficult, you know?
Right, you're not just throwing on a dress for an event like this.
Imagine, in the walking, it's like such a far walk, and but she was worse than I thought, and I just thought, you know what, you go, girl. Like, I just loved that she got dressed up, she had her eyelashes on. Yes, she was crying when she was getting her picture taken. Everyone on the red carpet was clapping for her, and she was just crying. If you look up the pictures, like, it's a very sweet moment, and I just thought, you know, Hollywood can be so ruthless and so hard, and it's all about the winners, but life can change in an instant, and I think every person in the world can really relate to that, and there's so many people. My best friend Courtney has MS. Like, there's so many people dealing with that, and for her to come out and that show strength, it was one of my favorite nights of the night. It's not flashy, it's not Hollywood, but it made my heart swell.
Well, good for her. I didn't realize, you know, when she first announced it, you know, she had talked about how playing with her son was difficult. I had kind of just assumed, my brother-in-law has MS as well, that once she started treatment, that she was just going to go back to, you know, pre-MS, no problem, because I haven't been tracking every moment, you know, so I didn't realize she was still, like, figuring it out. I know it's a very complicated, scary, a lot of unknowns with that disease, and it affects everybody so different, so, but I'm glad to hear that she was out, and then not being afraid. A lot of people might be scared to go out, or not want to be seen, not being perfect, you know, so good for her.
Yes, exactly. So it was a really beautiful thing. I loved it.
All right. Well, thank you, Kelty Knight, for being our guest on the Steve Cochran Show podcast with Mary Sandberg Boyle. You have a good rest of your week with the post-Oscar wrap. And then we look forward to, you know, what's next? Summer movies? Is that the big next big thing?
Oh, God. We're not talking about what's next. We have to get a full night of sleep, and then I'll figure out what I'm doing.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thanks, lady. Bye.
All right. Bye.